And so again, yes, welcome everybody to Living Beyond Limits. I am Reverend Jennifer Speer. We are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living, and I'm so glad you've joined us today. And for those of you who are online, welcome to our service also. And so we're going to begin our service today by reading our mission statement. So I invite you to join me in that as soon as I find it. Except sometimes you hear me, I mess up on some of the words. Okay, here we go. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we become, impulse of the divine, and become a beneficial presence in the world. I'm jumping forward to that beneficial presence part. So that is exactly what we are doing here at Living Beyond Limits, is we are giving ourselves the opportunity to remember who and what we are. To remember that, yes, indeed, we are incarnations, individualized expressions of that one infinite love intelligence, the creativity of the universe, life itself. And that all, because we are that incarnated, all of those qualities and characteristics of spirit actually live within us. The love of the divine lives within us. The peace lives within us. Wholeness is the truth of who we are. Power, our authentic power, is always present. Because what happens then is, as we move out into the world, and the world challenges us with things, people aren't loving or kind or generous or whatever it is, we can tap into that presence and that power of our own divine nature and bring forward love or peace into the conversation, or stand in the truth of our own wholeness or our own power when people are telling us that we are less than. And that, as we do that, then we actually transform those conversations. We change the relationship because we come to it differently. And as we do that, we actually become a beneficial presence in this world, in that conversation. But because everything is connected to everything else, it's like ripples on the pond. They ripple out. It affects everything as we come from peace and love. And so I thank each and every single one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to be giving way to your own divine nature, and to be being a beneficial presence in this world. Thank you for that. And so on podium with me today is our practitioner, Carol Borwick. She's going to lead us in an evocation and do a contemplative reading for us. And Harold Payne is with us today. Prior to that invocation, yes. He's going to lead us in singing the prayer chant in the stillness. Is that what it's called? I never remember the name of it.
I open up. Parentheses, in the stillness.
In the stillness. Okay, so I invite you just to kind of settle into yourself, into the part of yourself that is your own beingness, and to just sink in a little bit.
Stillness, in the silence, I feel the sacred surrounding me, and I surrender to this moment. I open up and I find peace. stillness in silence. I feel the love inside of me, and I surrender to this moment. I open up and I find peace. Let my soul speak with each heartbeat, every breath I take. In the stillness, in the silence, I feel the light inside of me, and I surrender to this moment. I open up and soul speak with each heartbeat, every step I take. In the stillness, in the silence, I feel spirit surrounding me,
find peace. And as we open up our hearts, we open up this wonderful day to possibilities, new possibilities. And as we enter this Easter week, may we be more aware of our oneness with the divine creator and our oneness with all life. May we be more aware of the power that we have to co-create beauty and joy and love and peace in our lives and in the world. May we be more willing to enter the rhythm of life and to dance with life, to recognize that life is all goodness, all for us. And we celebrate life. And as we turn within, we speak to Spirit. And speak your word now. What is your desire? For Spirit answers us. And this morning I know that Spirit speaks through Reverend Jennifer's message. It speaks through Harold's music. It speaks to each of us as we share together, for we are in the presence of love, and love is all there is. And so I just declare this day a celebration of life, opening up to wonderful possibilities. And I give thanks for all of it, and I say thank you, God, and so it is. Good morning, everyone. My reading today is from Ernest Holmes' book, This Thing Called Life. There is but one creative principle. There is but one power, and we are using it either negatively or affirmatively. Remember that the power in you is you. It is itself as you. In studying the words of Jesus, We find that he never talked much about the negative conditions he wished to change. He took the opposite position. Instead of telling God how sick and poor people were, how famished and lonely they were, he affirmed the exact opposite. He told the lame to walk, the blind to see, the dumb to speak, and the deaf to hear. He commanded the waves to be still. He was calm in the midst of the storm. We shall not gain happiness by continuing to repeat mental patterns of unhappiness. We cannot enter into the joy of living while we remain sad. Can we, in the midst of negative conditions, accept a greater good? If we can, we shall be complying with the law of life. We shall be giving life a chance to work for us. Every right recognition you give to this life will increase your own livingness. There will never come a time when this unfoldment will cease. Know and affirm this. The one supreme power, life intelligence, and spirit is within, around, and through me. My word is the activity of this infinite mind and is the law of good in experience. Infinite intelligence governs, sustains, and animates me. Good alone goes from me, and good alone returns to me. And so it is.
So as human beings, we have a need to have a good sense of self-esteem, to have a positive self-concept, a positive self-image. And studies actually show that when we have high self-esteem, we more easily face the challenges and the difficulties in life with confidence and optimism and goodwill. And in turn, we are actually more likely to succeed and to reach our goals just because we have good self-esteem. Another thing that I learned that I thought was really amazing is that when we have good self-esteem, we actually treat other people with more respect and more kindness and more compassion and more goodwill. Isn't that amazing? Because we have good self-esteem, a good self-concept. We also have a deep longing to know our own goodness. And we have a longing to live in touch with our spirit and with our own spirituality. Ernest Holmes said, "Spirituality is natural goodness." Spirituality is natural goodness. God is not a person. God is a presence personified in us. Spirituality is not a thing. It is an atmosphere of God's presence, goodness, truth, and beauty. We long to be in touch with our own goodness, with the truth of who we are, and our own beauty. The problem, as you all know, what happens sometimes is we aren't in touch with that goodness. Instead, what happens, and we aren't in touch with our good, positive self-esteem and our self-image, because we believe those messages that we got in our childhood, those negative messages, and we hold on to them. And then, when we're not paying attention, and those negative messages start playing, those old tapes that tell us things like, you're not good enough, or that you somehow fall short, or that you need to be more, or that you need to be better, or you need to be other than what you are, then we take those messages and we generalize them, and then they kind of become the thing that tells us who we are in this world. tells us who we are as adults, even though those were messages that we got a long time ago. And then on top of that, we have been trained by both our parents and the society that we live in to perform well and to achieve. And then how we perform and what we achieve becomes the thing that determines our self-esteem and our self-concept. Our image, self-image, becomes based on what we do rather than who we are. You know, if you perform well, you are good and valuable. But if you don't perform well, you aren't good. Sometimes you're bad and you're not valuable. If you take first place in the tournament, you're really good and you're valuable. But if you didn't place in the tournament at all, you're not as good and you're not as valuable. If you make lots of money, you are good and you are valuable. But if you don't have any money, you're not quite as good and you're not quite as valuable as that person that has the money. If you have the title of president of your company, you are good and you are valuable. But if you're the busboy at Denny's, not so much. If you are perfect, you are valuable and you are good. But if you make a mistake, you're not as good and you're not as valuable. And we hold on to that and allow that to tell us who we are. And so I'm reading Father Gregory Boyle's new book right now that's called The Whole Language, The Power of Extravagant Tenderness. And you all know he works with ex-gang members and people who have been released from prison. The people that he works with have experienced horrific events in their life. They have had traumatic and abusive childhoods. They have, most of them, participated in much crime and violence. And he talks about a woman, Gloria, who is in his program. And you know, it's really a program of healing. It's a program of transformation and where people get to come home to themselves. That's really what he's doing. And she says to him, "When I walked through these doors, I didn't have a heart. I had a rock. I had a rock instead of a heart." You know what? For any of us, when we are wounded and when we are hurt and when we are traumatized and when we believe that we are flawed or broken or somehow less than, we put a wall up around ourselves. We put up a wall around ourselves and we put up a wall around our heart to protect us from getting hurt in the future. I recognize how much my heart has changed as a result of walking this path, how much more open-hearted I am and how connected I feel to people, how loving I feel towards people. And what really stands out in my mind is how loving I feel towards people that I don't even know. The strangers on the streets, how I feel connected already. And I remember when I was in practitioner training, we had meditations that we were to do every single day, and we were to meditate twice a day. And one week, the instruction was to use this mantra, and she said to put it on like a filter of what you're looking through, and to do that all day long as you're going through your day. And the mantra was, "What is essential cannot be seen with the eyes, but can only be seen with the heart." It changed my life. It changed the way that I saw people. And I remember driving through Hawaiian Gardens to go somewhere, and this lady during the middle of the day pushing a stroller down the street with a kid, and I don't even know what judgment I would have had because it's been so long ago since I lived inside that head, but I remember I would have been in judgment of her. But as all I could see was this love and her being a mother and caring for this baby and how beautiful that was. Is all I could see was the heart, not whatever was going on in her life. And like I said, I just have this sense of open-heartedness now that I never used to have before. And so Gregory Boyle, in his book, says of those gang members that he works with, it's not that they have forgotten their original goodness, but that they have never been introduced to it. And so there's a story from Daily Dose of Sanity by Alan Cohen. He says, when I read that the Dalai Lama was to speak at an upcoming conference, I noticed that his name was preceded with HH. I asked someone what those initials stood for, and I was told, His Holiness. It is also the respectful title bestowed upon the Pope. I began to wonder why the Dalai Lama and the Pope are, quote, His Holiness, and not the rest of us. To be sure, these spiritual leaders are very holy, but are they more holy than anyone else? More holy than the rest of us? Do the Dalai Lama and the Pope, it's an alarm to do something, do the Dalai Lama and the Pope have more God in them than those who sit in their audience? I imagine that these renowned spiritual leaders would agree that we are all holy in the eyes of God. The quote, His Holiness concept got me thinking about other appellations of respect. Take Your Honor, the title conferred upon judges. Certainly judges merit honor, but are the other people in the courtroom less honorable? I wonder what would happen if the judges addressed the defendants before them as Your Honor. Perhaps this practice would bring forth the honor within them. Most criminals were not treated with respect as children. If they were granted this respect now, it might summon their innate integrity. Socially aberrant acts are unskillful attempts to feel love, power, and to get attention. Addressing criminals as Your Honor might begin to satisfy that call in a healthy way. I do not mean to demean those who merit respect. Rather, I mean to uplift those who generally do not receive it. Holiness, honor, majesty, and grace are not special gifts dispensed to a few. They are given equally to all. Perhaps if we called each other by the names which God knows us, we would live in a more godly way. It's not that they have forgotten their original goodness. They've never been introduced to it. As we are introduced to our own goodness, we're able to discover it for ourselves. And we're able to take refuge in it. And we're able to rest in it. And as we do that, it heals old wounds. And it heals false ideas about ourselves that we've held on to. And in turn, we become more loving and we become more kind. We become more embracing of others. Because we're no longer rejecting ourselves. Instead, we're able to embrace ourselves. And so the title of my talk today is Lost and Found Department. And I'm talking about discovering our goodness, discovering our true nature, discovering our spirit and who we really are. And how that discovery magnifies our true nature. And how it shines a light on it so that in turn we are able to own it. And we're able to embody it consciously. And then we're able to share it wherever we go. Then, instead of seeing our flaws, instead of seeing our shortcomings, and those messages being the reason that we will never be good enough, we see our enoughness. We see our goodness. For that is really our own essential nature. And as we see that goodness, we are actually able to bring that forward in our interactions with other people. We become kinder and gentler and more compassionate and more caring and more connected with this family of humanity. So have you noticed that about yourself as you walk this path? Have you become more kind and gentler and caring and connected and compassionate? Hasn't this path just changed your heart? And so the inspiration for my talk this week was actually another quote by Gregory Boyle. He said, in the mystical view, goodness is our starting point. And realizing it, not becoming it, is the task. We're realizing it. That's exactly what we do here at Living Beyond Limits. That's exactly what we're doing here. We are discovering our own spirit. And we're discovering our own divine nature. And we're discovering the good that lives inside of us that is really who we are. We're discovering our own wholeness and our own beauty and our own goodness. And you know what? That's why so many people cry when they first come to these churches. It's as if they're coming home to themselves. It's as if out in the world we have somehow been estranged from our own selves, from who we are. In that world where we are bombarded by criticism and judgment and measurement and competition, that squelches our spirit. It squelches our own spiritual nature. Our souls get squelched in that. And so we come here to remember who we are. We come here to regroup and to find ourselves. We come here so that we might discover the love and the goodness which is within us, because that discovering it actually nurtures it. It nurtures it and lets it grow and become bigger and stronger and brighter and fuller. And it occupies more space inside of us then. And it occupies more space inside of our lives then. We come here so that when, after we find that spirit and it's nurtured and becomes fuller, so that then we can take it out into the world. It changes the way we interact with others. And so Boyle also said in his book, like many Hindus who visit temple after temple, not to see God, but to let God gaze upon them. We come here and we say, here I am, God. I am open to you. I am listening. It's about communion. It's about opening our hearts. It's about finding ourselves. It's about being willing and receptive, finding ourselves and finding our capital S self. That capital S self where God already exists. We don't come here to find God. We come here to discover that that presence was always within us, always where we've been. In this space that we create here of love and support and gentleness and kindness, it enables us to find that within us. It's a safe space where we get to find that loving self within us. And here, we encounter God and self, which are really the same thing. And so my invitation to you this week is to know that you don't have to heal anything. You don't have to change. You don't have to become better or become more of something. Is all you have to do is create a space, a mental and emotional and spiritual space to discover your own goodness. That lets it come forward. So put your attention on that, the goodness within you. And put your attention on loving goodness wherever you see it. Loving goodness in others, loving the goodness within yourself, that invites it forward. That is like watering it and feeding it. That allows it to grow and flourish and prosper and become bigger. Move from altering your behavior and your need to measure up, instead to just loving the goodness within you. Let that be your focus, loving the goodness in all things. And as a result of loving the goodness, that will become your compass that takes you to joy. It'll become the compass that takes you to healing and to connection with other people, to connection with yourself and with those around you. And then you will naturally be acting as the beneficial presence that you are in the world. And so blessings to each and every single one of you on this path of discovering your own spirit and your own innate goodness and being that in this world that wants it and longs for it and is so hungry for that goodness and that love. So blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. How good it is to be in recognition of this presence that surrounds us and envelops us, that presence that goes with us in every single thing that we do, every challenge and every joy, that presence that leads us and guides us on this path of satisfaction and fulfillment and joy. That presence that not only is in every single thing and every single person that we see, but that presence also that is within us. For I know that that presence lives within our hearts, lives at the very center of our being, for it is our own essential nature. It is that from which we have come, and it is that which we express. It is that which animates us, and it is that life of God that lives itself out by means of us. And so today we listen within. We listen and find that love and that goodness. And from here, our spirit feels free to shine in the world. Our spirit feels free to speak and to love and to embrace and to include and to be a part of, to be a cause for solutions and answers and the way forward. For we recognize that that self, that essential self, is none other than the presence of the infinite love, intelligence, creativity, and boundless good of this universe. And so today we allow that to be the voice that guides us, that to be the voice that leads us into a life where we are a beneficial presence and into creating a world that truly works for everyone. For that is the call of our heart and soul. And so I also speak this word right now for every single politician and world leader and decision maker, knowing that the presence of good lives within them, that is also their own essential nature, the good that God is, the love and intelligence and creativity and connectedness. That is who they are and what they are. And so today I claim and see and accept the fact that that is what is leading them and guiding them into perfect decisions for humanity. And I speak this word about Putin and about Zelensky and about the people of Russia and the people of Ukraine, knowing that the hand of God is right there. That intelligence and love is leading and guiding every single decision and choice and act and word. That presence of the divine is making itself known in such a profound and real way that things are changing and shifting and something new is happening right now. I know that. And so in our openness, we accept that as the truth. And so it is with a grateful heart that I release this word into the law of the universe that always reflects back to us what it is that we believe, what it is that we focus on, what it is that we accept as so. And so it is with a deep faith and acceptance that I release this word, knowing that this is the truth. And I let it be. And I invite you to join me in saying, and so it is.
And let's thank Reverend Jennifer again for her inspiring message. So it's time for our affirmation, if you would join me in sharing it together. Today, I place my attention on my spirit and my innate goodness. I focus on loving the goodness in every person, moment, and situation. My attention brings forward the undiscovered goodness in all. And so it is. Thank you.
Two invitations for you. One is, will you join one of our teams? We have sign-up sheets in the back for different things we are participating in. And I want to tell you that Rebecca brought coffee today, and then she decided she needed to go get snacks, so we have snacks back there too. So if you would like to bring coffee next week, we actually have the coffee and we have the air pumps and we have the cups and stuff. You would just take them home with you and then bring a pot of coffee with you next week in the air pump. So I would love it if somebody wants to do that. There is a sign-up sheet in the back for any week, but we don't have anybody for next week. Talk to Rebecca and she'll hand you the coffee pots and stuff when you leave. We also don't have anybody signed up to be a greeter next week. So if you'd like to be a greeter, that just means you stand at the door and say good morning to everyone and give them a bulletin. That is open also. If you'd like to participate in InReach or Outreach, InReach is deciding on some of the things we do together to build community and just to get to be together. You can sign up back there or even put your ideas down. Pat?
I want to do InReach, but I didn't see a sign up.
It's on the back table. There's an InReach and an Outreach sign. Sign up back there. And Outreach, speaking of Outreach, Barbara Conant has put together an Outreach opportunity for us. We are going to, these are on the back table also. They're for Mother's Day for Sukasa, which is the shelter for women who have been abused in relationship. We are buying gifts for them for Mother's Day, which are things like body wash, shampoo, lotion, deodorant, razors, yada, yada. There's a whole list back there. There are 16 women at the shelter right now. They need to arrive back here by May 1st, and then Barbara will take them over to the shelter, and they're going to build bags and do that kind of thing. So if you would like to participate, grab one of these in the back and take it with you, and you can bring things back in the next couple weeks. I am going to be teaching a class if we have enough people that want to take it. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. It's a brand new class out of Centers for Spiritual Living called Spiritual Principles and Practices. It's a 5-week class. There's very little reading. The only reading is the book, This Called Thing You, which is about this thick, which is a lovely small book. And it is about the 10 core principles in the science of mind, and each one has a practice of how you practice that principle in your life. It's looking like, I think, people would like to take it during the day, and we might do it right here at the park in the shade. So if you are interested in doing that, sign up. Or if you're interested in taking it on Zoom at night, sign up for that too. There's a thing in the back that wants to know which you would prefer. Our talks are online, available on our website. Share them with your friends if you might. And we have prayer support after church and prayer shawls if you would like prayer support. Practitioners are available for that.